Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Some of this message is going to talk about like stuff in our house, our church, not the church as a whole, but it will apply to the church, the Big C Church, but it'll also apply to your own lives. So hopefully you can kind of pull something from it on all levels. We have a kind of a cool opportunity coming. Summertime, I know it's easy to kind of go into coast mode. You know, we can look at it as churches. Andrea, her husband, they both pastor, so they know what it's like. So when she said about the offering, she knows what that's like because people are gone, offerings are less. But I think summer also provides an incredible opportunity. And I think right now our world is providing an incredible opportunity because people want to know something different, right? Have you ever lived and you're like, you know what? There's got to be something different. And there are a lot of people right now asking. They just recently had an event in Europe. Europe, you know, may not look like America when it comes to revival, but they are finding people want to know somebody. They want to know God. They just don't know. And when they're presented with Jesus and the gospel, they are turning to Jesus like crazy in Europe. And people had said it's a post-Christian society. And I remember listening to one gentleman, an Anglican, who said, you know, people say that about us, but he said, I don't see that. He said, I see, yeah, the trees are burnt. We've had some fires. But he says, after a fire, you get little growth and you begin to see growth all over. And that's what they're seeing right now. So praise the Lord. Amen. All right, truth time. This is your moment to confess. You guys ready? How many have ever rented a car? We're starting off easy. Raise your hand if you've rented a car. Here's the truth question. How many drove that car equally as good, if not better, than your own car? Wow, you guys are either liars or amazing. How many drove that car a little rougher than your own car? Faster? A little harder? Didn't slow down as much for that speed bump. You guys are good Christians. Pat yourself on the back. Liars or Christians? I'm not sure which one. Quick story, a little aside. We went to Florida. Speaking of renting vehicles, I think you shared this a while back, but we went to Florida and we had three vehicles that we rented. And kind of the question was, how would we keep up and find each other? And so we had to have three car seats and we did not want to pay to have to rent a van. We were tight for finances. So we thought, how are we going to do this? You talk about funny stories and how God provides. We get this baby blue Grand Marquis, big boat. I didn't even think they made these things anymore. It was the biggest thing I can remember. Car seats fit in and everybody knew where we were. Here's the crazy thing. It happened twice. I'm like, how could we rent a car in different places and get a baby blue Grand Marquis? God's got a sense of humor. My point is this, when you rent something often, how many know that it's not as easy to keep a rented thing as good of condition sometimes as a non-rented thing? Anybody ever experienced that? Maybe this, maybe you guys are so good this is not gonna work, but have you ever been on vacation at a all-inclusive or a cruise? Now some of you, I know your answer. I sure you make your bed every morning, don't you, Mom? On a cruise? No. Why would we on a cruise? Why would we do that at an all-inclusive, right? Why? You paid for somebody else to have it done. Let's see what else. You go, how many have ever got a mop and bucket out when you're at an all-inclusive to clean up a mess? You're making my sermon difficult. Where on earth were you? It was just a mess. It's funny. Is Tim Sweeney here? I remember Tim Sweeney was somewhere, and he jumped right in with the crew. I'm like, Pete's sake, do you guys not know how to take a vacation? But work with me here on my analogy. Lots of times we go on an all-inclusive, and yeah, we're not. We may throw the covers up. But I'm not making the bed because somebody's about to come in to make the bed. And I'm happy to leave them money to do it. But to be honest, when I'm on a all-inclusive, one of the things that I notice a lot of things that are wrong. Anybody have that gift? Your eye goes to things. It is a gift. Some people don't see things. Other people see it. Other people see it and complain. Other people see it and fix it. But I can see a lot of things. But when I'm on a trip, I am not thinking about, geez, I wish I brought my tools. Because I'm renting this place. I'm borrowing. I am not an owner. I am a renter, or I'm a user at that point. So I don't get the mop and bucket out. I may feel bad, but I don't go to that step and do it. I've preached a long time now, not as long as some in here, but long enough. And as I worked on this sermon to get ready for what I want to share, kind of vision casting, I realized that there is something at work. You know, as Christians, we often get conspiracy oriented and we're like, man, the devil's at work here, the devil's at work. And some of that is true and some of it's just us. And what I want to share is not that I think the devil's at work, although he may have a plan behind this, but I think it's actually just, sometimes I think it's blessing and I think it's longevity that puts us into scenarios. And if we don't wake up to it, we could actually reap consequences days, months, and years later. What I want to talk about is when you don't feel ownership of something, how many know that it can make things really difficult? For example, how many have ever tried, and if you have the answer, we're working on this. If you have the answer, we will be happy to hear it. But how many know that it is really hard to get your kids to take ownership of the house that you paid for? Okay, good. You know, as our kids get older, it is as much as they have become responsible, there is something about when you don't own it, it's hard to be responsible for it, right? Following me, right? So I would love to tell you that my kids, as fantastic as they are, they don't always look at something and go, oh, I should fix this. You know, oh, I should take out the garbage without being asked. Oh, I should, you know, I think of fixing things because that's not something they would naturally do. They wouldn't go, well, I'll just get out the tools and I'll fix this. But there's something about when you get your own place that all of a sudden the things that you didn't do become natural for you to do, right? We live in a day and age where it's very interesting that we have inherited or purchased the older generation, older being really 50 and up, put myself in that category, that we have been very blessed. I use my mom as an example, doing a ton of research, and I think of my mom as a first immigrant into Canada. Her parents came and you were 9 years old. I think of what that must have been like to come and to own nothing and to work for everything that you wanted, you have to work for. There was no, I don't need that couch, it's not nice enough. Oh, a couch. I don't care what color it is, a couch, right? You're talking a little bit about this. That's why it's so amazing that you're like, the jacket that I actually wanted for my kid, I get. That, you know, you see things and you would love to have it, but you can't afford it. But when you can afford it, it's amazing that you get it. And I hear stories, you know, I watched as they did as much as they could on their own. I remember seeing pictures of our house being built, and like, it's just this miracle moment where you get to see what you want and desire come to pass. And when that happens, and when you want something so bad, that ownership takes over. And I never used to get it, but I get it now owning a house. You're like, whoa, 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 no shoes on the couch. You know, no, whoa, 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 you know, like, let's not walk through the house. We just bought this carpet. This is really important. And you're like, come on, just my shoes that are a little dirty. But doesn't it switch when you own? None of us own carpet anymore, hardly. But whatever it is, you're like, this is mine. This is mine. Interesting, we have a rental unit. And one of my tenants is an immigrant. And although it's him renting, it reminds me, I see the joy of him and his family being allowed to be in Canada. And the sacrifices they are making. You know, we have a lot of stories, people, immigrants, especially right now in the news, blah, blah, blah. But I'll tell you, they're working hard. They'll put three or four people in extra rooms if they have to, if that's what makes it them able to stay and survive. And not only that, they take better care of the place than I probably would. Ownership is powerful. So why am I talking about this? We live in a day and age where somehow in the church realm, we have moved from being the church to coming to church, and the pastor becomes the CEO of a business. Now, I want you to think back to the cruise ship mentality. On a cruise ship, if you follow that path, it's actually the captain needs to get you to where you are going, but a cruise ship is all about what? Well, serving, but what are the people there for? Fun, relax, holiday. What's that? Accommodations, dirty accommodations. No, they want clean accommodations. They want entertainment. You guys are foodies. Food, we want good food. All these things, anything wrong with that? No, that's what a cruise ship is built for. A cruise ship has the purpose of you going on there, relaxing, having good food, all that. The challenge is, as we move forward in the kingdom of God, what I see has begun to happen is throughout not only the church and the world, but ownership is lessening and lessening. And we bring mentalities into the church that are actually not meant for the church. And this is the challenge we face, because I am actually excited of potential of what could happen in August. I think August, the month of August, could be incredible, that we could open the doors to the public, meaning that we go out and we invite people and we just love on people, but it takes a group of people that would say, I'm going to take ownership of this. You following me? It's really quiet in here. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians. I'll read it out of two at least different translations. Turn to Ephesians 4. This message is challenging because it actually goes against how everything is happening in the churches these days. Not all churches. I shouldn't say that. That would be unfair. Ephesians 4. So I'm trying to push something, move it forward. So if I touch, you know, on your toes, just be okay with that. At the same time, I want to encourage us, because the things that we have been trying to move forward, I'm seeing it happen. And I'm seeing it happen organically, which is beautiful. I'm hearing of people going out for coffee. A new person shows up and they go and they connect with that new person and they're having coffee. I see four ladies sitting here, you know, that have taken on one beautiful new lady and got water baptized. And, you know, I love, because I watch Mary or whoever's with her, you know, Jeannie, and they're explaining things at times. Oh, this is what this means. I love it. I watched, as I was a part of this on Friday night, and the group of people that we were together with, somebody needed prayer. And so I didn't lead it. Actually, it was so cool to go, I don't have to lead this. What a marvelous thing, as friends prayed for another set of friends. And it was all organic. I had nothing to do with it other than I got to pray. I got to just be a person that prayed like everybody else. And I walked away that night going, it's beginning. It's beginning. And then I hear Claude mention about some of John's mother's pallbearers or people that are part of the Thrive group. I'm like, this is what we're talking about. This is community coming alive. So I love it. So please know when I'm sharing this is because I want to see this side move forward, but I'm loving already what's happening. You guys good? Everybody smile once in a while for me, just so I, whew, get the car running, honey, after. Okay, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. This is a description of what it's like for the kingdom of God. Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, "And he himself," this is God, "gave some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, and pastors and teachers." For what? Why are these people given? Why are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers given? For the equipping of the saints. Okay, so turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. You're a saint. Don't say, you don't know me. Well, if you know Jesus, you're a saint. And then it says, for the equipping of the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry. We'll stop there because this goes completely against everything we know. So if I go to a gas station, I don't own that gas station. I'm there for a purpose to get something. I get service. That owner, however he, if he's the running it or if he's got staff, I have nothing to do with that gas station. Claude with dentistry, when I go into that office, I have nothing to do with the office. They are there to give me a serve me, right? Make me in pain, drill teeth, all that, but they're there for a purpose. It's to serve in the gifting that they have. But it's interesting because in the body of Christ, in the church, it says that he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We are here to equip you to work the ministry. So it's not like when I, you know, Claude doesn't do as much dentistry, but when he was my dentist, it's not like I walked in the room and he's like, all right, Jay, I'm gonna teach you how to work on your wife's mouth. She'd be like, heck no. You know, quick lesson, I'm sure you can pull this out. Anybody ever remember, I don't know if it was Mr. Bean or one of those things where, you know, they have the thing and the guy goes, so he puts the Novocaine or whatever in his mouth and then he realizes that, like, he pulls his own tooth and then he realizes the chart flips. He's like, oh, so he does his upper tooth and then he realizes it flips this way. So he does the other side. It's just great. That is why people are trained to do that. So we go to all these things. We go to concerts to be entertained. We go to places like the dentist to have service. We go on a cruise to be just to be entertained and to relax. And the challenge is in the 21st century is that we come to church often with that very mentality. We come to church without realizing it, wondering if we will be, gosh, we would never say this. Honestly, nobody would ever go, well, that wasn't good entertainment today. But we may walk away going, I didn't like those songs today. Felt that one was just off a little. You know, we've done that song a lot. Do we have to do that over and over again? See, that question, that thought means that you're here so we can please you, and yet we're here so we can please him. That's a challenge. Jeff and I have had quick conversations about this, of how challenging it can be as a worship leader, because you may feel to do a song and you may go, wow, we've done that song so many times, and we have to push against that. What will the people think? And yet the church is here because it says my job as a pastor, apostle, teachers, is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. So that means we all come together on a Sunday in this building or a Wednesday, and we are here. If you've been here and you've been equipped, you're here to what? Minister and serve. You may not think even in a church like ours, a smaller church, that you would feel that, but it's amazing on a Sunday how you, this feel of how do I make sure everybody's happy? I'm doing a sermon where you may not feel happy. And then that gets a little awkward because you're like, wow, what are people going to think? And yet it's our job to move the kingdom forward and to equip the saints. And I've come to a place, and if you're a guest, you get to hear all this. You know, it's like, wow, different sermon. I've come to a place where I realized to move the part of the kingdom that we're called to do forward, our mindsets have to change. It's actually impossible for us to move things forward without our mindsets being changed. And I think that we sit at such a beautiful moment in the world, in the questioning that people have, that we could make one of our greatest impacts in this hour. Wouldn't it be great to hear more and more stories of people being impacted by Christ? I heard one amen. Do I get a second? You know, I love Jeannie that, you know, taking somebody out for coffee. That could look so small. Like, well, I took somebody out for coffee. We had coffee together. Is it small when somebody begins to share the gospel with you and explain things? It's not small, is it? When somebody takes the time, your friends, and invites you in to be a part in the Thrive group and begins to teach you, it's not a small thing. When you've taken that person out, it's not a small thing. And I could never have done that with you. I could have never have done that with the person that you're taking out. And that's the beautiful thing about the body. Let's carry on. I want to read it out of one other translation here, starting back at verse 11. This is New Living Translation. It says, Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. So these are the gifts. Did you know that I'm a gift? It's a good chance for you to love on your pastor. I'll try it again. Did you know I'm a gift? Yay! But did you know that you're a gift? Yes, we're all gifts. Did you know that your gift is different than my gift, and the gift you carry is just as important as the gift that I carry? Like, no, do we really know that? That you carry a gift. Your gift is not my gift. My gift is not your gift, but every gift is important. Some of you have incredible gifts. Like, let's go back to that, what you see. Did you know the gift of seeing things that need to be fixed is a gift? Because I'm so thankful when somebody comes in and notices something. I'm like, oh, I never even noticed that. Thank you. No, it can be annoying, especially if they're like, well, let me show you the 12 other things that I saw. You know, it's even better when somebody goes, I noticed this. Hey, can I fix that for you? Thank you, Jesus. Let's go back to the... He's pointed some. These are the gifts Christ gave the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring to the full faith and knowledge of God's Son. Oh, sorry, measuring to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. Did you hear that? He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. A couple things I want to share with that. First of all, if you think the world's going to end, it's not, because it says they will continue until they have unity of faith and they won't be immature like children. So how many know that the body of Christ is still needing to grow in faith and not be immature? That's an easy one. But I want to go back to that last part. He makes the whole body fit perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This is what's different when a CEO owns a company. The CEO does not expect people that come to his doors to use his services to be a part of building that company. He expects paid employees to do that. The body of Christ is not paid employees trying to move the kingdom forward. That's the challenge. The body of Christ is a group of people that come together, whether it's this building, another building, or outside. I was talking to Ken Post quickly. He was talking about how churches in, was he in Nairobi? Kenya? Kenya. He said there are churches, and their churches meet under trees. Like the whole church meets under a tree, because that's all they have. The church is not a building, right? The church is not a building. So the fact that we get a building is absolutely beautiful. How many have ever been a part of tearing setting up and tearing down to be a part of a church? Meaning that you set everything up, take everything down, raise your hand. How many know that when you do that for a while, a church is a beautiful thing? A building is a beautiful thing. Oh my gosh, we did that, I don't know how long, Glengarry. We'd rip all the sound equipment apart. We'd go in, we set it all back up, take it all down, set it back up for Sunday. Two years. Felt like 20. And I know churches that do that, but when you have a beautiful building, it's awesome. But I want to focus on the fact that it says this, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So I keep going back to this because I see August coming up. And I see this beautiful moment where I said, we can reach the community. And there's a part of me like, let's do it. Oh man, let's just do it. Wouldn't that be fun to do it? Okay, let's just turn for a second. We say yep. Turn to Matthew. This is the challenge. Really, the challenge is, what are we here for? You know, behind all this is, as I studied ownership, and you know, my kids don't feel ownership over the house. The question is, why? Why wouldn't they? Why? I ask myself that, why? Because it's not their house. That's the challenge. The question in the body of Christ is, why do a lot of, I just ask these questions. Why do a lot of these things happen where people, they shop for churches? Are they, well, this church doesn't meet my need this week, so I'm gonna go find another church. Do you know that is so foreign to the kingdom of God? That is not even a concept in the kingdom of God where you shop for your church. You shop for what is the one that serves me best. Serve the people and the needs around us. The body of Christ is a church about how do we serve the people and the needs around us the best? Like, how do we come together to make that happen? Now, I get it. Sometimes there's missing holes. We have a hole right now. We don't have a youth ministry. And it would be easy for people to go, well, I'm just picking up and leaving. Do you know that's like picking up and divorcing your family sometimes when you're that close to people? I know this is hard, but I believe God puts you, not forever, not everybody. You don't have to like, this is the church forever. I'm going to die in this church. I hope some people don't actually die in this church, but I hope people like, but I hope people go, listen, this is where God's planted me. How do we build the kingdom here? If you're a guest, you're like, what did I come here for? When I look at Essex County, I think this is our place to make an impact. Every person I know is the person that I know that I have an opportunity to make an impact. And I think when this mentality gets in us, we're like, we're here, serve me. We have missed the complete point of the gospel, Christianity, and the kingdom. Because the point of the kingdom is, Lord, you have set me in your heart. I know you, I see your sacrifice. Now, how do I serve those around me? And I know it's a process. For some people, you're like, I'm growing, I'm learning, it's gonna take a little bit. And all of a sudden, one day, you're like, you know what, I gotta get involved, I wanna greet. How do I greet? I can greet, I can say hello to people as they walk through the door. You know, are you talking about getting up here and doing a sermon? No, these are the simple things, right? I can greet. How'd you turn to Matthew? Because it says, Matthew 28, verse 19. 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe the things that I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll read that again. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The why of Christianity, the why of why we do what we do is because God calls us to go and make disciples. And if you become a disciple, then your job is to go and make a disciple. And that disciple is to go and make more disciples. It has never been about coming into a building, doing worship, and going home. Coming into a building and making sure we have the best music, making sure we have the best. And you like, this may go against, haven't you been talking about unreasonable hospitality? Absolutely, for every person that walks through that door that's new. But there comes a point that you move from being somebody on a cruise ship to be there to rest to understanding that now you're part of that cruise ship to be there to serve. And we have a beautiful church, don't get me wrong. We serve, but I realize right now we're in a place where if we can't step to that next level, we can't go to what God's calling us to do. It's impossible. Because it's gonna take literally every man on deck to make this happen. So I see we have two choices. We can like cruise through summer and make sure Rod puts together a really good program for our kids and we go, yay, sis boom ba. Or we go, what an opportunity to let people come through those doors and love on them. Because then we have this thing called Reach or Festival of Hope. Literally, I think it's 3 weeks later, after we've done all this, after we've targeted the community, we can go, wow, now we have people, we can invite more people. Why? Because people are looking for hope and Jesus is the answer. I think still to this day, Jesus created through the apostles, the local church, where since that moment, the gospel has been moving forward out of those local churches. It has been his model all along. So this house is a part of that model where it's like God has put us here. God has put you in Orangeville. God has put different churches where they are called to move the gospel forward wherever they are. You following me? Now, can I be really real? You're like, no, I don't know. You know, one of the reasons why we have the kids back there is because Rod's sick. He came in to give it his best effort, but he had to go home. He just couldn't. He was sick. See, we have nobody to take his spot because the people that have been taking his spot have been taking his spot over and over again, and they're going to burn out. We have gardens that are so full of weeds. And there's not enough time for us as staff to do this. And to be honest with you, it's not why you hired me. You hired me to train you and equip you. The difference with ownership is if you are part of the crew, you come in and you see a need and you want to meet the need. And we have needs right now, massive needs. I'm so thankful that the difference that I've seen in a Claude and my mom and a Mary, the founders of this church, see, you'll see them go and Mary's been decorating and planting trees and not trees, flowers and setting up Christmas decorations. You know why? They own this building. Now you're like, they bought it? No. You own this building too, by the way. Every time you tithe, this is part of you. The difference is when they launched this building, they said, this is ours until God takes me home or shifts me. This is my house. And so this is my point, is that it's so hard to get the next generation to own it. That's what I'm seeing in my kids. I'm like, Lord, how do I get my kids to own my house? It's kind of an odd thing, right? You're like, well, I own the house now. That's not what I'm saying. But to take ownership of a house. Because users will treat it one way, renters will treat it another way, but how many know that owners treat it a completely different way? So I'm bringing this word because there's a part of me that's like, let's just coast, because I don't think I can do anymore. And I know Rod would say the same thing. Like, he's up there 3 out of 4 Sundays in a row. See, that's one small need. We're like, if we're gonna do this, we need more workers. That's why Jesus said the fields are white or ripe unto harvest, please pray for the workers. That's why. It's the same scenario 2,000 years later. So what I'm sharing my heart because I see this, again, this golden opportunity to be the body of Christ. And what I'm hoping is through this message that people go, you know what? I want to take ownership of this house. I've never seen Claude walk by a light bulb that he didn't go and change if it was out. I've never seen Mary not pick up garbage if she walked by it. Same with my mom. My mom was pulling weeds the other day. But I'm like, surely, the body to come together. And you may think this is so small. Exactly. If every person pulled one weed, maybe five. It's gotten a little out of hand. This is what I want to see change. And I know maybe I'm pleading a little bit, and that's okay. I love Michael Delmore, Dave Curtis. Retirement allows you to do more things, but I'm longing for the day that I pull up and it's not Michael spraying the stinking birds that have found our sign to be a home again. I don't know how that happened, but the birds found our sign. Usher. Why? Because when people drive up, I want them to see a beautiful sign. I want them to see a house that's taken care of. I want them to walk into a house where people are greeting them and loving on them like they've never experienced before, which you guys are doing. I want them to walk in where things that are falling apart, because you know, you just have to look up and begin to see like tiles that are getting yellow, and it's these little things that begin, things begin to fall apart where, and you may say, that's not important. It is important. It is important. Would you go on a cruise ship where it wasn't excellent? I wouldn't. Now, you may say, we're on a mission. Yeah, it's a mission, but we want people to come in and to experience the presence of the Lord. And it takes those small things to make it happen. That's a big thing back there where the kids are. Hi, kids. And they're being great. This is the quietest they've ever been. But don't we want to see them upstairs being transformed? Not because it's bad that they're there. Because if you know Pastor Rod's heart and the curriculum that he creates, he wants these kids to be praying for each other. He wants to teach them to lay hands on each other, to see miracles happen. But it takes workers. It's really quiet. You guys following me? Let me give you a few things. Ownership. Ownership is the mindset and commitment of taking personal responsibility for success, health, and growth of something because you believe it matters and you see it as yours. There's no way you guys would have built this church if you didn't take ownership. I'll read it again. Ownership is the mindset and commitment of taking personal responsibility for the success, health, and growth of something because you believe it matters and you see it as yours. I would love for all of us to be able to say, I'm taking commitment of this church because this is mine and I believe it matters. You know what happens when a group of people do that? They always say it is way easier to launch a church for the first time than it is to keep a church going. Because the first group of people that launch something are like, we're all in. The next generation, we're in. The next generation, we're kind of in. Why? Because inheritance is easy to squander. And I want to be a good steward of what I inherited. And I want you to be a good steward. I want Josh to be a good steward in what he inherits. And the next generation, amen? Ownership in the church means I'm responsible, just not present. I invest, not just consume. I show up to serve, not just be served. I protect and build what God is doing here. I pray for this house, like it's my own because it is. Attenders come for what they can get. Owners come to give, grow, and help others belong. And there's one thing I want to. If you write something down today, write this down. Even if you haven't written anything down, just write it. Because this will be good for your family and everything else. What we inherit easily, we value lightly. What we inherit easily, we value lightly. What we build personally, we protect deeply. I never understood why my father-in-law would say, "Get your feet off the couch." And I'd be like, "It's leather." But before that, it wasn't. I never understood it. Like, I'm like, what is the big deal? Until you own something for the first time, and it really means a lot to you, and you see somebody's dirty socks, like my son's, he's trying to get his attention to see, you know. Kids grow up thinking that shoes or socks are shoes. And, you know, they'd run outside and they'd come in and I'd see their socks and they'd go to put their feet on the couch. I'd be like, "Oh, that's why he said no feet on the couch. I get it now because I own it. And I've personally invested in it. Therefore, I want to protect it deeply." I want to read those one more time. What we inherit easily, we may value lightly. What we build personally, we protect deeply. What you build personally, you protect deeply. So my heart is that we will begin to shift the mindset, because it takes everyone in here to move the vision forward. And the reality is, you could say, "Well, I don't want to do any work, so I'm not going to do it. And if it's going to be awkward, I'll just go somewhere else." Listen, every church has the same issue. I remember talking with somebody because they have a big church, and I was sharing with them some of the struggles. And he said, "Jay," he said, "listen, I get your struggles, but all you need to know is I have the same struggles. Just add 2 zeros to it." So that meant, like, if I needed one extra worker to help Pastor Rod, he needed 100 extra workers. Same church, like different church, same problems. Because it is easy for us as people to come and want to consume instead of wanting to serve. And God is a God. The whole gospel is a gospel of serving. Amen? Just a few more amens just to make me feel better right now. I guess I realize I'm at a stage in life where, honestly, it could be easy to do what we do every Sunday in Coast. Sing, you know, people are, I got two worship teams now, not teams, but two people leading. We could come in and sometimes we just have to deal with this. But I'm like, no, this is not what the Lord wants us to reach those around us. And every one of us play a part. And you have a gift that plays a part in reaching somebody next to you. Not next to you here, next to you when they come in. Your greet may change them. The kids' program will change them. The youth that we're going to have one day will change them. Those that walk around and see something and pick it up will change. It's all part of the equation. Amen. We're going to take communion now for healing. I know that's heavy, but I have a list this big of things that we can't get to that help move things forward. And I share that because I think there's this subtle idea that I'm the CEO, therefore it's my job to make this happen. It's actually, this is our facility. And as we're meeting tomorrow night as a board, I want to let you know, as a board, that's the same message I'll be giving. You're not as a board to say yes to decisions. You're a board that we work together to make this. That's the way it's always been, to move things forward. And I'm so grateful. Please don't get me wrong. I'm so grateful for all that's happening. But I just want to see us do what God's called us to do. Don't you? Man, I want to have so many stories that we don't have time every Sunday to share the stories of lives that are changed. You know, every time I hear one story, I'm like, I want five of those because those are amazing. Connie was sharing yesterday how she was sharing, I'm trying to remember who it was, doesn't matter, but you were sharing with somebody at your work. And I'm like, that's amazing. You know, got her encouraged to watch online. I'm like, yes. But I, in the back of my head, I'm like, if people start to come, what are we gonna do? Because we can't even do the kids ministry right now. We don't have enough workers. We need more workers. Now, please don't come to me and say, I'm ready, I'll be on the worship team. That's not what I'm asking, right? We need cleaners. We have every other week, we don't have enough cleaners. We need weeders, literally. We had trees that died. We need to replace trees. Those are all little things that I'm like, I want this place to look beautiful when people drive up. Because if we don't care about that, then we're not going to care about other things, and eventually the building falls apart. But you guys have kept this building up. We want to continue that. Amen. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you, first of all, have blessed us in so many ways. Lord, you're good. Lord, I thank you that I'm second generation to be a part of leading this. And Lord, we want to see down the road 4, 5, 6 generations down what you've given us to be still going strong. Church, don't we want that? Many years later, when I'm in my 90s, to still hear what God is doing because of a vision of someone, someone's a group. So Lord, we thank you that you want us to keep moving forward. And Lord, as we take communion, I pray that we would think through in our hearts, how can I shift a bit of my mindset from a consumer to a server? And we ask that you would help us to find a way with the time that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we thank you for the blood that was shed on the cross. Lord, I thank you. It's your body, your blood that saves us, heals us, restores us, renews us. So Lord, if anybody in here needs that, needs healing right now, needs restoration, Lord, we ask that you would meet their needs. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's what I'm asking. Over the next week, I want you to pray. I realize all our lives are busy. Sometimes I wonder how I'm busier now than I was before. My kids are growing up and I still feel too busy. I think that's partly brought on because we take too much on. But what I'd like you to pray about is, are you in, first of all? If you're in, like, I want you to pray about that. Man, I go to this church. I've been going to this church 2 years, 3 years, 1 year, 5 years, 20 years. Am I in? Do I own this place? And if you don't feel like you do, begin to say, Lord, why is that? How do I get that feeling of ownership of this place? That you will feel the same way when you walk through the doors as I walk through the doors. Because when I walk through the doors, I own this place. I look for what's broken. I look for what needs to be shifted. That's what I do. And sometimes it's like 2 seconds, garbage on the floor. Something needs to be shifted. I know there are so many in here that own this place, but if you don't, I'm praying that you would say, Lord, how can I begin to own this place? And then the second question is, Lord, how do I get involved to own this place? Because that's the next step. There are so many small things like these round chairs. How many have ever noticed they don't stay round? Everything wants to be straight in life. I like round currently. It just feels a little more organic. But how many know that chairs need to be straightened? Bathrooms need to be cleaned. If you've ever been in the bathroom and there's no toilet paper, how many know that's important? It's these simple things we take for granted. It's not simple. Windows need to be wiped. And you say it's a lot of, you know, physical. It is. This is a big building. I don't think we've done a spring cleaning in I don't know how many years. It's just things that need to be done. My first question is, are you all in? I'm all in. Please stand. Promise you, if you're a guest, that's the heaviest message I've brought in a long time. Right? But sometimes, if we're here to equip the saints, that's what we're called to do, right? If we don't, man, I have to sometimes have hard conversations with my kids. Why? I'm responsible for them. Sometimes in life, we just have to have hard conversations. So that's a hard conversation. So Lord, I pray that you would put it in our hearts to be all in. God, I thank you for what you've done over the years in this facility. Lord, I thank you the building is not the church, but you've given us this building to serve others in. I pray, Lord, Father God, that we would begin to see what could happen in the month of August as we begin to teach the kids about hope. And Lord, ask people to come in if they need hope, because this sanctuary could be full of people that desperately need hope, and we could be meeting that need. Lord, I pray that you would get us fired up with a vision to see that happen. Lord, that we could imagine people coming in during worship and being touched by the power of God. Lord, I pray you'd give us a vision for that. And we say, Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you have put in front of us. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.